Praise the Lord, church. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Glad to be in his presence. God's great. He's merciful, ain't he? When I first found out I was on the schedule to preach for this month, I was ready to go, man. I had a message planned, and I was ready for it. And there's a good thing and a bad thing about having a schedule is you got time to prepare. But all the way up to about a couple of days ago, God said, you know, I'd switch the plan on you, buddy. I switched the plan on you, and I'm only giving you 2 days now instead of about 3 weeks. So bear with me, but I believe I'm going to promise you I'm not going to teach two messages tonight. I know that. So we're going to turn to the book of Habakkuk. You guys have your Bibles tonight. We're going to be in chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. It says, it starts out here in verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. How many are thankful to God that you serve as a God of salvation? He's a God that cares. He's a God that knows where you're at. Verse 19 says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. How many are glad you can rise above sin today? How many are glad you can rise above any kind of immoral thing that comes into your mind, any kind of temptation that comes into your life? Tonight we're going to talk about, if I could title this message, it would be the element of surprise. The element of surprise. Let's just go ahead, go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord, for another opportunity to come into your house tonight, Jesus. Lord, we know you hold all things in your hand, Jesus. We ask you tonight to have your way in the service, Lord. Have your way in our hearts and our minds and our souls tonight, Jesus. Lord, help us have an element of surprise, Lord, in our praise and our worship tonight, Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory tonight, Lord. For you alone are worthy, Lord. There's no other God besides you, Lord. There's no other God next to you, Jesus. There's none that compares to you tonight, Lord, in your majesty, Jesus. We exalt you tonight, Lord. We give you praise and give you glory and give you honor in all things tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. You may be seated. Can't forget about that. Everybody's going to stand. But I love the Lord tonight. The element of surprise, the element of surprise. There's a lot of things in this world that surprise me today. There's a lot of things in this world that surprise you today. This world surprises me in so many different ways, in so many different avenues. You know, I never thought that we'd be going down the roads that we go down the roads that are set before us today. If I was a young man, you know, when I was a young man, I thought to myself, you know, we'd never see some of these things come to pass. We never see some of the trials and the tests that this world faces each and every day. But we do. But we do. Throughout time and history, we learn that a lot of wars and a lot of battles have been declared victorious through the element of surprise. You know, the way you win a war, the way you win a battle is by surprising the enemy. Surprising the enemy when they catch them when they're not looking. You know, catch them when they're not looking for you. And I believe if the church is ever going to succeed in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to surprise this world. We're going to have to surprise this world with his Holy Ghost. We're going to have to surprise this world with what we're taught, with what we know to be true in this word. It's time the church develops an element of surprise for the enemy. It's time the church has an unpredictable praise. An unpredictable praise. I'm going to say it again, an unpredictable praise. Something that, you know, the enemy does not catch. Something that the enemy is not looking for. You know, we gotta do that. We gotta understand where we're at today and the times we live. God shows up when he's least expected in our lives. How many believe that? How many has been in a circumstance in your life, a trial in your test, where the Lord comes and you're like, wow, I never thought he would have came in this manner. I never thought he would have came now. I never would have thought he would have came at this point in my life. You know, he catches us by surprise. You know why he catches us by surprise? It's because we're not prepared to give him an excuse. We're not prepared to say, I can't do that, I can't do this. You know, we were in Hyphen, we've been talking about Moses, and he gave every excuse he could of him not being a good speaker, of him, you know, having a slow speech, a slow tongue. But he gave him Aaron to help him, to assist him. But, you know, we try to find every excuse in the book to not serve God, to not go down the path that he wants us to go down. And I'm ready to go down the path the Lord wants me to go down. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to take on this world and what it has for me. So, and it goes on, you know, the devil doesn't know how to react to unpredictable praise. The devil doesn't know how to act when he's surprised. Your enemy, the enemy of the soul, the enemy of your heart, and the enemy of your mind doesn't know how to react when you praise, when things are going wrong, when things are going tough, when you feel like you're bound by drugs, by addiction, by fornication, by all these different things that you could be bound by sin. Is something that the devil is like, man, I thought I had him bound. I thought I had him in a place of bondage. You know, our pastor talked last week about Paul and Silas. They were in the prison, and even though they were bound by shackles and chains, they still said, you know, we're going to serve God no matter where I'm at in my situation, in my trial, my test. If I feel like I'm bound tonight, if you're bound tonight, there's an altar here. If you're bound tonight, there's a saving grace, a saving name here in these four walls tonight. This is a refuge. Is a refuge for the weak. We may fall, we may fail, but as long as we stay in the realm of an unpredictable praise, meaning I may go through things in my life, meaning I may go down this path. We're imperfect people. You read through this book's full of unperfect people that have been used by him. So if that's an excuse for you, it shouldn't be an excuse for me. You know, we need to throw it out the window of saying, you know, I can't do this. I have a slow tongue, as Moses said. You know, he still looked at that burning bush and said, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. You know, and that's what we need to do tonight. We need to say, here am I, Lord. I'm here for you. God needs people in this church. He needs people to perform his will. He needs people. It's easy to get caught in some when someone knows your every move. Anybody play checkers or chess in here? When you know, you know, they're about to jump me, and they're about to king me, and I'm going to be done for, and it's going to be game over. And, you know, it's easy. It's easy to get caught when someone knows your every single move. And the devil knows your intents. The devil knows what you do each and every day. The enemy knows, you know, what you're comfortable with each and every day. The devil knows what I'm comfortable with each and every day, what I do, how I act, who do I talk to, how do I talk to him. The devil knows. And so we have to develop an element of surprise, an unpredictable praise, catch the devil off guard. It says in Matthew, we're going to turn to Matthew if you guys have your Bibles. The Lord will show up at your impossibility, but we must first have an unpredictable faith, an unpredictable faith. So if you can, turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to start in chapter 15, and this might be a short message, but you know, it was on my mind these last couple days. The Lord told me, you know, you got to be unpredictable. You're doing things, you know, you're trying to do everything, you know, your way, the way you want to do it, and my way is a different way than yours. And he likes spontaneous praise tonight. He likes the spontaneous spirit, meaning, you know, you get out of the realm of your comfort zone. You get out of the realm of your comfort zone. If we're ever going to win this world, if the church is ever going to grow, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone and talk to some people about him. We're going to have to win some souls. We're going to have to do some Bible studies. It says, chapter 15, verse 22, says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, and my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23 says, But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24 goes on and says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It says, verse 25, then came she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Why would she worship him? Why would she worship him if he's still talking, if he hasn't given her an answer yet? Why is she worshiping him? Because she knows if I don't do something, the devil's going to get him. The devil's going to keep my daughter vexed with the devil. If I don't do something, if I don't stand in the midst of an unpredictable faith, you know, I'm never going to get my blessing. I'm never going to get my healing that I need, my family. Let me tell you something. If you ever want your family to be saved, you're going to have to break out of that realm. If you ever want to see your family members that have been lost, that have once been in the church, and want to see them come back into these four walls, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and really get down deep and hit your knees each and every day and strive to have that perfect prayer to where God hears your prayer. Hears your prayer. It says, then came she and said, Lord, worshiped him and said, Lord, help me. I need your help. Sometimes we got to have help. Sometimes we got to have help. Sometimes we can't do this on our own. Verse 26, it says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And I read this verse, and I was like, what does that mean? Is he kind of like, you know, saying, I ain't giving you nothing. What do you deserve? No, he's trying her. He's trying her faith. He's trying her faith. He says, you know, I know you're a Gentile. I know you're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. And he's saying, you know, why should I give you this if you're not a Jew, if you're a Gentile? And she goes on and she says, you know, you may say this to me, but I truly know that he's the healer. I truly know that he's the way maker. And it says in 27, it says, and she said, truth, Lord, this may be true. Yet she said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, the Gentiles still need you. I still need you. I still need you. And so we find out, it goes on, it says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We find out that she had unpredictable faith. She had an unpredictable, you know, a sense of an element of surprise in her prayer and in her strive in her set goal of having her daughter healed of the devil that was vexing her. We're going to keep going on here in this chapter, and I love this chapter because it's got a bunch of miracles in it that the Lord did. And it goes on in verse 15, verse 30, it says, and a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. They glorified the God of Israel. So they came to Jesus, and they started throwing all these people that had problems to him, and he was just healing them right from left. How many, do we see that today? Do we see that today? Why is that? It's because we're so used to seeing what's in front of our face. You know, I never want to get so cold. I told my hyphen group, you know, I never want to get so cold in my heart that I can't see the miracles of God right in front of me. I never want to get so, you know, lackadaisical in my spiritual walk with God that I can't see the miracles that are being performed in my life right in front of my face. And I want to be so spiritually in tune with God and say, you know, this is a God thing. You know, Kim being healed from coronavirus, you know, that was a God thing. You know, this church is a God thing. 3 years, you know, the churches aren't like this in 3 years. You know, churches don't have this many people in 3 years. Why is that? It's because somebody got out of the realm of comfortability in God and said, we're starting a church no matter what may come, no matter what may happen, no matter what come my way, you know, I'm going to serve God to the fullest of my ability. And it goes on in verse 32, it says, and Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. How were they ever fed? Why did Jesus say, okay, I'll feed them? Because they stuck with him for 3 days without eating. How many have ever gone on a one-day fast, man? That's terrible. That's like murder. You know, but, you know, you imagine 3 days, you know, not eating, you know, seeing all these miracles performed. How many believe there was growth there? How many believe, you know, that multitude was saying, you know, I see this happen. I see this person. We're following him. We're following him. We're following him. I see this happen. I'm following. I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry. I need something to eat. But if I can just take another step, if I can just take another step to you, if I can just follow God tonight, you know, that's what we're called to do. We're called to follow him. No matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, we're set to follow him. It says, and his disciples saying to him, where should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Let me tell you something tonight. No matter how great your trial is, God can heal it. No matter what circumstance you may find yourself in tonight, he's got the healing power. He's got the all-seeing hand, the all-seeing eye, you know, that sees right through you. He can see right through you. He can see right through the put-on. You know, if this church is ever going to do something for God, we got to get out of the put-on church. We got to get out of the realm of, you know, we say we do this, but do we actually do it? Do we say we do this? Do we actually knock on doors? You know, do we say we do this? Do we give Bible studies? Do we say we do this, or do we go out and talk to people? I know that cuts deep. That's cutting me right now because I feel that in my spirit. You know, God's called us to a greater plateau than what we expect out of our own selves sometimes. So we find out that the devil thought he had Jesus killed, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead. You know, we find out that the devil, you know, he thought he had Jesus under every circumstance. You know, he was dead. He was gone. You know, I finally won the battle. But Jesus said, no, you know, because I'm unpredictable, because I'm an unpredictable God, and because I work in the unpredictable, you know, you haven't killed me. You know, I'm alive today so that I can have a multitude here that'll follow me, that I can have a church that'll follow me. How many want to follow God tonight? 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I know I'm jumping around a lot, and I told Mikey, I said, I'm going to give you a lot of verses here, but, you know, we're going to work through it here. Let's see. First Kings chapter 19 says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Now this was, you know, after Elijah, you know, they had the burnt offering with Baal, and they said, you know, if Baal is really your God, is the God of gods, you know, he's going to come down and burn that offering up. But he never did. He never did. And we find out, if we read that prior chapter, that the Lord, you know, burnt that offering up that Elijah formed. And he, after that, he slain the prophets with the sword, it says in this first verse. It goes on, verse 2, it says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time. So they're saying, you know, we're going to, if you don't, you know, surrender yourself to me, surrender yourself to Jezebel and Ahab, you know, we're going to come after you, we're going to kill you. You don't have a choice. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. How many have ever been in a situation, you know, where you find yourself, you say, I just want everything to end. Well, everything just please go away, you know. We find out that sometimes in our life, you know, we're bound by so many things, different things, and we say, God, where are you? God, where are you? You know, I thought you would come down and heal me. I thought you would come down and save my family member. I thought you would hear my prayers that I'm praying to you. I've been praying for so long. But God's saying, you know, because of your predictable prayer, you know, I'm going to wait, and we're going to see, you know, how unpredictable of a prayer life you need to have. You know, we need to have an unpredictable prayer life, and we need to get out of the realm of our comfortability. It says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, them an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came unto again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto the Horeb, the mount of God. You know, when I looked at this verse, I said, why is Elijah running away from the enemy when he was someone who is so seasoned as a prophet, you know, who has seen, you know, the burnt offering, God come down and just take out that whole sacrifice. You know, someone that's seen the works of God, that's someone that's experiencing God and saying, you know, they're running away from their enemy. Why is he running away from his enemy? But, you know, we look, and I just kept reading along here, and it says, he ran and found himself into Horeb, the mount of God. Do we understand where he was running to? He was running to the mount of God. He was running to God. And it says, and he came thither into the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? The Lord's saying to somebody, what doest thou here? You know, somebody's in a cave tonight. Somebody's in a circumstance of saying, where are you, Lord? Where are you? Where are you? You know, you say that you're the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, but where are you right now? And the Lord's saying, you know, where are you? Lord, turn the tables on you. And he's saying, you know, where are you? What are you doing here? And he came, says here, it goes on, and he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And verse 10, it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown away thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Let me tell you something. The devil's got a plan for you. The devil's got a plan for me. The devil's got a plan for this church. You know, and if we're predictable, the devil's going to come after us. The devil's going to come after us. You know, if we're predictable, we're vulnerable. How many believe that? If we're predictable, we're vulnerable tonight. I want to be on guard for my life spiritually. I want to be on guard for my walk in God. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. So we find a wind came. A wind came to the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Can you imagine what Elijah was feeling right now? He was saying probably to himself, you know, this is crazy. You know, Lord, what are you doing here? You know, are you trying to kill me or what? You know, with a wind and an earthquake. And it goes on. And it says, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Let's pay attention here, and it says, and after the fire, a still, small voice. A still, small voice. Sometimes God's not going to come in the way that you predict it. Sometimes God's not going to come in the manner, the form that you think he's going to come in. And I'm telling you tonight, church, I feel a burden for this body of believers tonight that we got to get to a place where we can't be predictable in God. We can't be predictable in God. We can't have a predictable prayer life. We got to break out of the realm of predictability. We got to get to a certain stance in life where we say, you know, no matter what my trial and test may be, you know, I'm still going to serve God. No matter what happens in my life, you know, I'm going to be unpredictable, and I'm not going to I'm not going to be vulnerable to the devil. I'm not going to allow my spiritual talk to be vulnerable to the devil. If you're waiting, the musicians want to come. I know this is probably a short little sermon, but the musicians want to come at this time. Are we going to be predictable to the enemy and say, well, maybe next week I'll answer the call? You know, are we going to be predictable? The devil knows what excuses you have tonight, church. The devil knows what excuses I have tonight. Are we going to be predictable and say, you know, maybe next week, you know, I'll try to get that blessing that I've been so longing after, you know, this lifestyle of living for God is not a lazy lifestyle. This lifestyle for living for God has got to be an active lifestyle. You got to be active in God. You know, when I was talking to our hyphen, I know I referenced the hyphen a lot, but, you know, it changes me and it changes my life. And I was talking to them. I said, you know what the difference between, you know, the difference between someone who's anointed and someone who is just a messenger, someone who just speaks, they put action behind it. There's action there. You know, you can tell somebody, you know, if you talk to somebody and they say, oh, I do this, I do that, and then you come up to the job site and you're like, this dude don't know a lick of what he just told me he knows. You know, it's not comfortable. That's not a comfortable situation. We got to understand, you know, we got to put some talk behind our walk. You know, walk behind our talk, if I can talk right. But, you know, God is not looking for excuses tonight, church. He's looking for a people who are called by his name, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. It says if you're waiting for a right time, you know, the time's now. If you're waiting for a right time in your life where everything's right, going right, you're waiting for the wrong time because, you know, God comes at the bad times and he comes at the good times. So, you know, if you're waiting for we're going to sing a song here, but if you're waiting for the right song to be sung, the time's now. I mean, it's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be pretty. We got to come to God in every manner of our life. We got to come to God in every situation, every circumstance in our life. Surprise the devil tonight, church. Make him wish he never bothered you. Make him wish, you know, he never came to your front door and started knocking. You know, Brad, or it was Bo, he said, Brad used to sing a song, the devil's in the phone booth. You know, calling, dialing 911. That's what it is, dialing 911. You know, we got to make the devil call 911 tonight. And we got to make him call 911. We got to make him call that number tonight. You know, as the musicians play this song and the singers begin to, you know, sing this silently, you know, I had a chance to go over to my mom and dad's house today. And as some of you guys know that my grandfather passed away a couple months ago. And it was a hard time for our family because he was really the glue in our family, man. He was a man's man. And you know, when all that happened, when all that transpired, my grandmother, she said, you know, I don't know what direction to turn to anymore. I'm lost. You know, someone that has been with someone for about 60 years in marriage, you know, what would you do in your life if somebody took you out? Someone took somebody like that out of your life. And she was questioning, you know, she was questioning God, and, you know, she was question me saying, you know, why do I feel this way? I said, I don't know, Grandma. I said, you know, this is just the way life is, you know, and God works in mysterious ways. You know, that's all you can tell somebody that's grieving like that, you know, and because we don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers, or I wouldn't be right here talking to you tonight. I don't have all the answers. But I was sitting on the couch, and I brought Silas over there because I had him for the day, and she was sitting there and singing a song, and it's an old song, and some of you may know this song, but the words say, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. It says, through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. For a lady, man, that had her husband stripped from her, you know, from 60 years, having 60 years, why would she be singing that song? Because she was being unpredictable. She was being unpredictable to the devil. She was being unpredictable to the enemy that was saying, you know, you have no use in your life anymore after your husband died. There's no reason for you to be here anymore. There's no reason for this to happen to you. There's no reason for you to be joyful. There's no reason for you, you know, to have a mission after this. You know, Elijah, when God came to him in that still small voice, he said, you know, that I have another mission for you. There's something else I want you to do. And he goes on and he goes up and he meets Elisha, and he takes his mantle and puts it on Elisha, and then the story goes on that Elijah were both prophets, man, and they did a work for God after that. But let me tell you something. In the level of unpredictability, God is going to see you through. God is going to answer your prayers. So all I have tonight to tell you is be unpredictable in your praise. Be unpredictable in your circumstance and God. Don't let the enemy catch you in vulnerability tonight. But give everything to God, because he's given everything to you. He's given everything to me. Praise the Lord.